It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, so I was out yesterday, and we'll get to Shelby Harris and Devontae Booker in a second from OTAs. What was the deal with the Peyton Manning stuff yesterday? What was I'm curious what your take is on all the Peyton Manning private conversation.
I wasn't there, so I'm only hearing this secondhand, but it was a hand-picked few were allowed to talk to Peyton.
That is a riot.
By Patrick Smythe.
Strategy, Cotton.
Smythe handpicked a few local reporters.
What was the point? Why?
Of allowing some people and not other people?
I mean, why is Peyton talking to reporters about anything, period?
Well, he was at practice.
And
people wanted to get his opinion on, one, what he thought of Vic Fangio and how he's running practice, and two, what he's been up to. Obviously, the Adam Gase thing.
No, but who cares? He's not on the... He doesn't work for the team, does he?
Well, Mel Tucker was there today, and people were talking to him, the CU coach. It's a chance to ask questions, even though some interesting people were at practice.
I gotcha. Practice ends, you can leave. Okay. So why do you think Peyton Manning...
Wait, you're saying that when Peyton Manning shows up at practice, you don't think that's interesting? You don't think people...
Oh, no. It's very interesting. It's beyond interesting. And so is making him available to talk to a handful of people. Everything Peyton does is incredibly calculated.
I'm surprised that...
This doesn't happen. Like, this didn't just happen because Peyton was doing somebody a favor. This happened because he wanted to talk to the... You know, he agreed to talk to a handful of local media.
Right. But he's not a employee of the Denver Broncos, so Patrick Smythe really... I mean, if you want to talk to the media, you can talk to the media. Patrick Smythe isn't really in charge of it anymore.
I gotcha, but it happened... Well, this was coordinated by Patrick. Not everybody was allowed to talk to Peyton, right?
Right.
It wasn't just
again,
open for everybody.
Peyton's not an employee. Patrick Smythe does not work for Peyton Manning.
I can put on my tinfoil hat right now.
Go ahead.
I just don't think... Anything with Peyton Manning happens by accident. Nothing. That's right.
So you think he went to practice to see Coach Fangio, a guy that was the defensive coordinator with the Colts when he was younger?
Yeah.
Peyton lives here. You think he wasn't just going there to watch practice and observe and talk to Coach Fangio? You think there was more motive there?
Of course. How about like when he brought his twins out to training camp practice because they were dying to see training camp practice? It's like I watched the kids the whole day. They wanted nothing to do with watching training. Training camp is boring to watch. Peyton was there for other reasons.
Which reasons?
Why?
Was he looking for job opportunities?
I think he's always considering his future and what he's going to do next. Always. I think he's always considering that. Why do you think Peyton hasn't picked up a regular sort of full-time job at this point?
He doesn't have to.
That's it.
He's been offered jobs.
That's right. He's been offered some great jobs.
You think he wants to be the owner of a team.
I think he wants
part
to be
of a group that was trying, I believe, was Carolina.
Panthers. Yeah.
But that's not the reason he's at practice.
Let me ask you this.
He loves football.
Can you see in 4 years... 4 years. Brittany Bowen owns the team.
Brittany
owns the team. Patrick Smythe is Joe Ellis. And Peyton Manning is John Elway.
He just turned a GM.
No, more like president. More like what John was hired to do. You know, John was hired to be the GM.
Of football operations.
Right. John was not hired to be the GM. I think some people forget about that.
Brian Sanders was the GM at the time.
Yeah, John had an incredible interview process. He interviewed one person. It was Brian Sanders. And he selected Brian Sanders after interviewing one person. And then he fired him a couple years later. And he took his job.
So why wasn't Peyton more interested in the Jets GM job then?
because it's just not the right time for him with his family.
So you're thinking he's at practice, he's at OTAs today because he's laying the groundwork for 4 years from now to be the GM.
Maybe. Swear to God.
That's tinfoil.
I know. I told you it's tinfoil.
That's long-term thinking right there.
But let's think about it. In 3 years, well, Brittany, sorry, I don't say as well as you.
Brittany.
I could. Just got to slow down a little bit. She's the owner. She's started to work with them. She's going to start to work with them here in the fall. She is their chosen Bolin child to take over the team. Can we all
the trust?
Yeah.
The trust.
Can we all agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she's the youngest.
She's not the youngest.
Well, she's the youngest and the most viable.
She's
There's
the
two
most
viable candidates that want the job, but she's the younger of them, so that's their choice.
Okay. She's from Annabelle's family, not the first wife's family. That's the bigger reason. And she's clearly, out of those five adult children, there's no doubt she's the most qualified. It's not even close.
Law of the city? What?
Yeah. He's got some.
He would be fantastic owner.
It'd be interesting. It wouldn't be boring.
Johnny Bolin. Oh, man.
Does John come back in 3 years? When his contract expires, does John sign up to keep doing this? Yes or no? What do you think?
Depends on if he's liking the job still.
Does Joe Ellis
has he figured out the quarterback mystery for him?
Does Joe Ellis keep doing the job 3 years from now when his contract expires?
Why not?
Oh my
it's
God.
The greatest job in the world. You can't be fired. You're the highest.
You're running a
team. It's like a dream job.
Okay.
You have a billion dollar business, but you have no one to answer to.
So my first question was, can you see a scenario 4 years from now where Brittany's the owner, Patrick is Joe Ellis, and Peyton is John Elway?
Sure.
Me too.
Everybody can, but is it realistic? Does Peyton want to do that?
Why isn't it realistic?
Well, Brittany's the owner.
She's the owner. She's not going to want to do anything. What is she going to do?
Own?
Right, exactly. Go to some meetings, make sure everybody else. If I'm Brittany, that is the exact setup I'd want. I'll take my chances with that setup for the next 20 years.
Yeah, but I could also see in 3 years, still the trust, still Joe Ellis, and still John Elway.
I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I know what you're saying. Who would ever give this job
up? Just 2 days ago, you saw John Elway, and you're like, this guy's got the life.
He does.
He's very relaxed.
He's hanging out
on billionaires' islands and things like that. And then he comes in and runs a draft, and then kind of the GM's job is not 12 months a year.
I could see John maybe going forward if he elevates himself back to president and hires a more day-to-day sort of GM. I think that would be hard for him, though.
You always mention Peyton as the guy that wants to eventually own the team, but I think John Elway wants to own the team.
Peyton can't own the team.
A group led by John Elway.
I don't think either one of those things. I think they would love to. I think both of them would love to. But I think that's really hard and difficult to do because I have no idea why the secession line won't go to Brittany. I have no idea why it wouldn't stay in the Bolin family at this point.
What happens if the NFL says, you guys have taken too long, sell the team?
They definitely are not going to say that.
No.
They have signed. Oh, my God, Tom. They have signed off repeatedly on this entire process time and time again. They're fine with the time that it's taken. They are A-okay. Seriously, how would you feel if Peyton Manning was running the Broncos in 3 years for the next 20 years?
I just straight out the barrel, the GM.
President.
And then a year later, President GM?
Is like firing, John did. Firing the GM? No, I think
I would like to have him in some sort of role before assuming entire control over the roster.
Why?
Because I think you need to learn.
Really?
Peyton's going to be looking out there for Peyton Manning, and there isn't one. It could I think that's probably John's problem, too. He's looking for John Elway.
All right, let me ask you a question then. Who do you think would be better at picking a quarterback, Peyton Manning or John Elway? We'll answer that question next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
It'd be perfect, huh? Maybe Kenny. We'll see. There's short-term plans, there's long-term plans. But the question was, who do you think would do a better job in picking quarterbacks, Peyton Manning or John Elway?
It's a ridiculous question. And on my way to the bathroom, I decided yesterday we were going, Cecil and I were going over Chris Sims saying that Drew Lock is the 37th ranked quarterback in the NFL right now. It was some rating he came out with.
37th?
He based it all off.
How would you even know?
Well, he's behind 30, so he's 33 and beyond. That's my point. That was my point to Cecil, because he's comparing him to he's above like Tyrod Taylor and all these players.
Right now he's not above Kevin Hogan.
That Chris Sims has seen play in the NFL, and I said that's unfair.
Yeah.
Because you haven't seen him play yet. So to ask a question because John Elway has had struggles in finding a quarterback, the easy answer would be, oh, Peyton Manning all day, because John Elway can't find one. But that's not a guarantee that Peyton Manning can figure out the college quarterback dilemma either.
Okay, it would be speculation.
I
you're saying because there's nothing to base it on.
You know what? I'm going to base it on the fact that John Elway has made more mistakes with quarterbacks, so therefore he's apt to pick one right. It's not
wow.
A knock. That's not a knock on him.
Think about that one for a second.
That's not a knock on him.
Say that again.
But he's tried so many different ways.
He's screwed it up so many times that he's inevitably going to get it right.
Right. Whereas if Peyton Manning.
This can't go forever.
If Peyton Manning were the we're going to start all over again, and he's going to be looking for that quarterback like John Elway was.
So Peyton is doomed to failure in the beginning because he just hasn't done it before.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's going to look for Peyton Manning.
Has John Elway been looking for John Elway?
I think Drew Lock is sort of like that.
You think Paxton Lynch is sort of like that?
Not from a physical tools standpoint and running around standpoint, but not from X's and O's and playing the game of football. I mean, I think he missed on that part. I didn't think he took into account the intelligence factor in Paxton Lynch. Not even the 8 plays.
How could you not take it in mind? I know what you're saying, and it boggles my mind.
I think that the physical attributes of Paxton Lynch made John overlook some other things.
Gotcha.
But with Peyton Manning just stepping in and trying to figure out the quarterbacks, I think he'd be way behind. Whereas I think John has learned, and he's way ahead.
All right, let me boil it down.
You think Peyton Manning would have drafted any quarterback this year?
For the Broncos?
Yeah.
If Peyton was running the draft.
Daniel Jones is the only one because he worked with his quarterback guru. Yeah, that would be it.
That'd be tempting, for sure. Daniel Jones would be very tempting.
No, I think Peyton Manning probably thinks Daniel Jones is terrible. You would think every quarterback is terrible.
Oh, you just think he'd think everybody's terrible, period.
Well, he'd be like, I can't believe he made that throw. Why did he make that read? Why is his feet messed up? Why is he throwing off his back foot?
So you think Peyton Manning would be lousy at that job?
No, I think he would be looking for him.
Does that make him lousy for that job?
In the beginning.
Yeah.
And after a few mistakes, come the realization, there's not another John Elway out there. There's not another Peyton Manning out there.
I should just get free agent quarterbacks.
That's the way to go.
You think
Peyton... Let someone else make a mistake on a guy.
You think Peyton would ultimately find quarterbacks and be comfortable with quarterbacks ultimately the same way John Elway?
He would try to sign Tom Brady.
Same problems.
He'd try to find Tom Brady.
Right.
If Tom Brady had a neck injury and was sidelined for a year...
He'd be too frustrated.
And then the Patriots released him, Peyton Manning would get Tom Brady.
So he'd be too frustrated with the process... He would have the same problem all these superstars have when they try to...
The 2020 quarterback class would drive him insane.
Why?
Because he just wouldn't understand them. their style, their decision-making, their offenses they're running. It would be hard for him, and it's hard for John.
Who's the perfect type of person then for that job?
Probably a young... somebody in the college ranks, almost, that knows today's college offenses.
Is it important if he played the game?
No. No. It's the eye test. It's like, you know, I've been... maybe somebody that's been around. Maybe like the Clemson quarterback coach that is around Lawrence and is like, you know, I wouldn't touch him for the NFL with any pick because I know that dude can't play in the NFL. He's great in college. I'm just using him as an example.
Okay. So you think Peyton Manning would be destined to fail at that job?
In the beginning. Just like John has. The only success John has had is...
defense.
No, Peyton Manning.
Oh, you're right. Well, that was good. Yes.
And I think with Joe Flacco, he's... I'm not equating their careers in any way, shape, or form, but I think... that's the safest route for John to go.
That's the model.
And just keep taking guesses in the draft, but try a Case Keenum, try a Peyton Manning, try a Joe Flacco.
Right.
Because you've seen them play in the NFL.
Because developing quarterbacks sucks. Who wants to bother with that crap?
Let somebody else do it.
Right.
In 4 years, grab him.
Sounds good. But let's support Joe Flacco by drafting Drew Lock in the second round instead of like a wide receiver or something.
That's just another guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the draft is. The draft is a lot of guessing.
You don't see that? A little inconsistent?
Inconsistent how?
You just said, why bother with them? Why draft them?
Because you got to keep trying.
It's just a guess.
It's a guess. Every player's a guess. Dalton Reisner's a guess. Noah Fant is a guess. They're all guesses.
Why did they take Drew Lock then, Tommy? Why?
A shot. In case it works out.
But you just said the best way to go is if
they did that.
Seriously.
But they already did that.
If Joe Flacco doesn't work out, why isn't the best chance
Kevin
to succeed?
Hogan.
Okay. Or somebody else in the NFL who, you know, has a 10-year
guy like
career
Joe,
and is available now.
Who's available like that?
Well,
Joe Flacco was the best available. Nick Foles was going to be too
Oakland.
Expensive.
My guy in Oakland. What's his... Derek Carr. What about Derek Carr next year?
What are we going backwards? Derek Carr.
Why
Derek
not?
Carr is... Joe Flacco's a better quarterback than Derek Carr.
I'm talking next year when Joe Flacco doesn't work out. Why would the best choice be all of a sudden the new guy? Why wouldn't it be a guy with experience?
Is Derek Carr available?
Maybe.
Are they dissatisfied with him? Did they address quarterback
in the top end of the draft?
They
stunk, and they love Justin Herbert, so they're getting rid of Derek Carr. He's available.
Well, they had 3 picks in the first round this year. They didn't address quarterback.
Right.
So they feel good with Derek Carr right now.
No, they feel good tanking out and then, you know, putting in their quarterback next year. Who knows? They're the Raiders. They just signed Richie Incognito. Who knows what they're going to do? You can't predict what the stupid Raiders are going to do.
Bad choice.
Right. What if Derek... But there's always somebody like Derek Carr. There's always somebody like that out there. Joe Flacco is like Derek Carr. Is he not?
The difference is Joe Flacco was available. It's the easier route to go. It's the safer route to go. An established, a proven starter in the NFL. Case Keenum was never that.
Brandon Stokely was ripping on me today. He was ripping on... He ultimately was ripping on 10-6.
That's me.
I know. But he was doing it through me. But still ripping at you.
Brandon Stokely, he's a 2-14 Broncos team, and everything's fine. We're fist bumping. We're happy.
We'll give you the details on it next.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Just a quick shout-out. I want to congratulate Cherry Creek for beating Grandview. They ended Grandview's baseball season today, but great kids. Really good game. And then Mountain Vista beat Regis. So now Regis moves on to ultimately the final. They were undefeated up to this point. Creek plays Mountain View, and the winner of that game plays Regis. It's double elimination in high school baseball. So congrats to all those kids, all those families. And the winning pitcher for Cherry Creek is our own Melissa Mitchell's son, Nathan, who will be playing baseball for Navy next year. How about that? And he picks up the W today, so little Bonneville pride right there.
Hell yeah!
Way to go, Melissa. Nathan, congratulations to Creek. Got to keep you up to the high school stuff.
Thanks, I
the
really
important, the important
that.
Stuff. I can go back into the spelling bee.
Going to the French Open? Do you want French Open news?
I don't know. No, nobody we work here plays in the French Open. If so, we would be getting right to it. I can go to the spelling bee final before
someone
I rip on
Someone we work with plays for Cherry Creek High School?
Yeah.
Or the mom?
The mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have a feeling if Cherry Creek was not in the semifinals, we'd still be getting the update of how Grandview did against Regis or
probably
whomever.
You're right.
Alice Lout.
A-U-S-L-A-U-T. Alice Lout.
You are. It was incredible last night. And the ending was just terrific.
You are correct.
Yeah. Odilic.
O-D-Y-L-I-C. Odilic.
You are correct. It's complete. They will forever be remembered as the Elite Eight.
What? What? The Elite Eight? You love the ending because it ended.
Eight-way tie.
It ended.
It ended. After midnight, one of the kids late in the round goes, what time is it? Like, one of the kids asked what time it was.
How old are the kids?
Middle school. Sixth, seventh, eighth grade. They're really incredible. Very, very impressive. Not so impressive as Brandon Stokely. Usually it's just Mike Evans who, like, gets things twisted way out of context.
I am hotter than a red pepper.
Thank you. But Stokely today, I said seeing Chris Harris out there did look like kind of that final piece to the puzzle. And I'm thinking maybe it is a 10-16 because you challenged me. What will it take for you to see something out there with the Broncos that means they're 10-6, right?
Yes.
So when I'm watching practice a couple days ago, it was kind of, you know, like, wow, okay, there's that piece, pretty important piece. And then I was like, hey, yeah, I don't know, maybe. You could be right. If you were looking for a reason why they could be a 10-6 team, they have a defense to do it. Now, I didn't say it's going to be a defense as good as the 2015 defense, and I did say, to me, Gotts, this is kind of the key. If he can have a role like Malik Jackson did. I didn't say he had to be Malik Jackson. Is if he can have that sort of disruptive sort of role. If he can be that guy,
Combination of like Draymond Jones or somebody that we might see during training camp plus Gotts is the sure. combination of them.
If there's somebody,
can be Malik.
I just didn't say it. Draymond Jones, I haven't seen him. I mean, I've seen him out here for a couple of days, but you know, I haven't seen him really play. So you could be right, but it is great seeing Bryce Callahan playing. I'm like, oh, I get it with that guy. I understand it now, even though he's short. I can see it with Kareem Jackson. I get that. Our linebacker crew is, we'll see. I don't know. Jury's out.
And yet,
Todd Davis, Josie Jewell.
And yet, in free agency and the draft, they did nothing for it.
I know.
That makes you wonder. Maybe they think they can get by.
Okay. That, to me, is a question mark, and Gotts is there. But they're small question marks. Small question marks. And ultimately, when you look at Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, it's like, wow. Well, okay. I mean, that looks unbelievable. So I wasn't saying Stoke, who usually I agree with. I mean, me and Stoke have agreed with way more things than disagreed. I wasn't saying I think this is as good as that defense. I'm seeing enough, though, where I could see a team going from 6-10 to 10-6. But what concerns me more than anything is the offense. Because it just, but you were walking me off the ledge saying it looks the same like this all the time.
Oh, at the beginning of OTAs,
yep.
The offense will look terrible. Even against poor defenses.
I mean, you know, Stokely hasn't been out there, nor has he been. Well, he does have the private circle of Peyton Manning, though. He can talk to Peyton anytime he wants. That's a special circle right there.
That doesn't help him figure out this year's team.
No, it does not. But he gets to go to some cool stuff, especially if there's a country music award involved in it. You got any beefs with Stokely?
No. Not that I know of.
Well, he's calling you a fool for the 10-6 prediction. That's ultimately what's happening.
Because I made his kids cry when they were little.
Maybe. You made his kids cry?
Yeah.
How'd you make his kids cry?
Could it be that?
What'd you do?
I pretended to throw them in the trash in the locker room.
Did you really throw them in the trash?
No, I picked them up and like held them upside down on top of the trash can.
You weren't going to dump them in there?
No. They were little kids.
Did they really start crying?
They cried. Is that it?
I mean, that's a long beef.
I thought it was funny. I used to bring my daughter into the facility. Alfred used to say on Tuesdays, did your daddy buy you that horse?
What?
It was a random thing. So my daughter's thinking, are you buying me a horse? Players mess with the kids when they come in the locker room.
Did Stoke ever put one of your kids into a trash can?
My kids were much bigger than Stoke.
Wow. Wow.
Mind you, I barely even knew Stokely at the time. He just signed.
And you're just grabbing his kids? Did you know they were his kids?
Yeah.
Or did you just saw,
they were in within a foot of his leg.
Yeah.
So I knew they were his kids.
Right.
They're a player's kid. When they come in the locker room, they're like right next to the dad.
Yeah, they're probably terrified.
Right.
Not exactly sure why the kids are in the locker room.
This is on off days.
Off days? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Like a Tuesday.
Right.
Or
all right. Because there may be naked dudes walking around that locker room. I mean, nobody needs to see that.
No, but you can put your kids in the training room.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. Brandon just does not think 10-6 is very realistic. And I'm leaning that way based on what I think is a great defense. I don't know if it's going to be as good as the 2015. The 2015 defense was an all-time defense. But I'm just saying
let's set the bar low then. Let's not even compare them. Let's not even try to be 2015. Let's just be a terrible defense and just be 8-8 so Brandon Stokely can be correct on this.
Wow.
We're all guessing.
Wow.
I'm just looking at the pieces they've acquired and the pieces that have matured.
When we come back, there's breaking news about Kyle Freeland. If you missed it, it's did you think what was going to happen was going to happen?
I knew something would happen. I didn't know straight, sent down. I thought maybe IL, something like that. He's got a blister.
Something has happened, though.
A fingernail.
We'll give you the details on it next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
By Ryan McMahon to the second deck in right field. 3-2 pitch is hit pretty well to right field. Going back, Adam Jones. This one's gone. It's a touch of all time for Ian Desmond.
Daniel Murphy intentionally walked his Arenado. 2-1 pitch.
Line to left field. That's a base hit. That's a game winner. For the fourth time on the homestand, the Rockies with a walk-off win.
It was fun being at the game, you and I. I was kind of like stalking you.
Yeah, you were.
I know. That was probably pretty creepy.
Just headed to the bathroom. You're like, you're leaving?
I thought for sure you were leaving early. I was going to give you
I would ever leave a baseball game early.
That's what I thought I was seeing.
Nope.
But then you dropped the knowledge that it was a pit stop.
Yep. 8 beers later.
Yeah, well.
The seal is broken.
Outed yourself.
Not 2, not right. 3, not 4, not 5.
I think there were 16 ounces too. I wasn't feeling great yesterday.
You, You were sitting in a spot that was, from where I was sitting, was so easy to see you. I mean, it was ridiculous.
You were up behind me? Were you
I was on, like, Rockies.
First baseline?
Yeah, Rockies dugout, club section.
Okay. Oh, so you're looking straight down.
Straight down.
Yeah.
By the way, those seats are sweet because the Jumbotron, whatever they call it there, that thing is unbelievable. I mean, that really is incredible. And then
never looked at it.
Well, you're not really sitting. I mean, for me, where I was sitting, it was like a TV screen. I mean, it was just like right there. And the game's right there. You can see every inch of the ballpark from up there. At no point did I feel my life was threatened by a foul ball. But
did you get warm chocolate chip cookies at the end?
You could if you wanted to. I got some tea.
These are complimentary.
Oh, I did not get that.
Yes.
No.
Warm cookies.
Oh, you had great seats, too. I'm not saying you didn't have great seats.
I'll tell you what, though.
You're sitting next to the dugout.
I was next to the Diamondbacks dugout.
Yeah.
But walking up the ramp, you are right behind. Like, just get out of the way, so I can see the pitch. That's what you want to say. Like, that's the kind of angle I got every time I returned from the bathroom.
Yeah, so you were in a great spot. And nor did you have to fear for your life from a foul ball.
Although the netting stops right where the dugout is. Unless the ball, if the,
is
ball
there a
had
gap?
Some, if the ball had some English on it, it could come down and dome me.
I thought there was an overlap. Not an overlap?
No, the dugout's wide open.
Huh. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
But my seat, like I was at the end of the netting. Like I could, you know, the netting stopped here and then like half my left side was.
I'd have to be a squirrely hit, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah. No, it would be impossible to get hit.
Right. And we'll get to the news with Kyle Freeland here in a second. But just real quick, that poor little girl who got hit in the Cubs game, the player's reaction, Chris Bryant. I do like the fact the Rockies have extended the netting basically past both dugouts, but I don't think they've gone far enough. I think they should extend the netting further down. Maybe not all the way to the foul pole, because in Coors Field, the foul pole, that's a little tricky. But further. I think it should go further. The story, if you want to see something just crazy, the real sports story on human beings who've been hit by foul balls and how their lives have been destroyed because of it is ridiculous. And don't even think about a glove saving you. Forget it. It's impossible. Nobody has that. You'd have to be... First of all, you'd have to be an incredible athlete, and you'd have to be ready on every single pitch. I don't know why they just don't extend the nets further.
When I sit in seats where you can get hit, and if I'm with my kids, and I'm down the third baseline, and there's a lefty up, I said, you better watch every pitch.
Yeah. It's not fun. I don't think it's fun. I've been in seats like that before. I did not have fun there. I had fun sitting where I was sitting. That was fun to me.
Carving station. Private bathrooms, tea,
the whole thing. It was great. You know, those seats are only $40. They're only $40. I got those for free. I won a raffle at work. But it's only $40. I mean, I'm not going to... I go with my wife, and it was a date. We had a great time.
Probably paid more for parking.
I paid $20 for parking. It was a Wednesday night. It's cheap. Parked right across.
See that lot next to the chop house is getting all dug up?
Yeah, that's going to be a luxury condo business sort of thing.
I heard it was supposed to be they're going to make it like the Jurassic Park outside the Raptors arena.
Yes, it's going to be a whole thing.
A multi-use type thing.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. I love going to Rockies games, but I'm only going to get to 4 or 5 a year. Just my life. Just the way things are.
I might go Sunday.
You know what I loved about Wednesday?
Getting the W. 41-10 now.
There's going to be way too many people at the game on Sunday. It's going to be like 40,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, I'm in great seats. Nobody's sitting near me. Sure enough. Four guys, two rows in front of us, are not sitting in their right seats. And four guys come to say, get out of our seats. I could not believe it. You saw how many empty seats were in that game, right?
It was like, pretty empty.
How in the world did you actually pick seats to sit in that are somebody else's? And where they sit, they could have sat anywhere. Where do they sit? Oh yeah, right next to me. It's like, you know, really, Like if you go to the movie theater, now everything's a reservation. Do you sit right next to a dude? When you go into a little bathroom, do you seriously take a urinal if you've got some choices right next to a guy?
No.
When you go to freaking Home Depot.
My bathroom only had one urinal. Two stalls. Mahogany.
Yeah, you see where
dividers.
Oh, good for you.
That's the way to go.
They got to extend the netting. I'm being a little bit more serious now. Should they extend the netting more than they have right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you get used to it. I used to think it would obstruct the viewing and all. But when, it, you know, we grew up going to Fenway, and every seat there is obstructed by a pole. So you get used to the netting.
It's not
like
a big deal.
I sat behind home plate and never noticed it.
Right. I sat in an area that normally I would not be looking through netting. Because the netting would stop and I'd have a clear view. Now I'm looking through netting. Good, didn't care. Not a big deal at all. Did not impact my enjoyment of the game whatsoever. You get used to it, like just like you said.
Oh, they're calling it Kelly McGregor Plaza.
Cool.
That's cool.
It's going to be awesome. Coors Field just gets cooler and cooler. And it's one of the older ballparks out there. And it's just, they've done a masterful job with it. It's you can't beat the price. You can't beat the experience. You can't count on ding-dongs, you know, sitting next to you, that crap, when they shouldn't be there. If you got a ticket, I don't care. Of course, if you got a ticket, it is what it is. When ding-dongs sit next to you that don't have it, anyways. First world problems. Kyle Freeland's been sent down to AAA, to the Isotopes. How long do you think he's going to be down there?
Well, Pedro mentioned 2-3 weeks. Pedro Gomez, when he was on earlier, I kind of raised my eyebrows. I figured maybe one or two starts, maybe. That's what, 10 days. I mean, if he's down there for 3 weeks,
I think it could be longer. Based on what your little birdie said, I think it could be longer.
That's not going away, that problem.
Your little birdie said it's a mental problem, not a physical problem.
Yeah. He's betting on himself. He's a lot of pressure he's put on himself financially. I was told that the Rockies tried to, you know, extend his contract. He's up for arbitration next year. And he decided, no, I'll go to arbitration after this year. I'm going to have a great year. And he's been pressing. So this is a tough pill to swallow for him to go down there. This is not how he envisioned this season going.
You don't think it's a big deal that he's a local kid. I think it actually is an issue.
He was a local kid last year. It didn't seem to affect him at all.
Well, now he's worried about his money. Now he's, I guess so. Now he's thinking about things too much.
Being local and thinking about money are two completely different things.
I hope he comes back soon, but I think it could be a while.
It creates a massive hole, I mean, in the rotation.
I mean, these AAA guys are no joke. It's not like you're going down and pitching to a bunch of Punch and Judys. You're pitching to some great hitters.
But they didn't bring up a starter. Tinoco is a relief guy.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think Lambert would be the guy, or Chichi Rodriguez maybe.
I think they're going to go with Chad Bettis in committee.
That's what that would be my guess, because he's the guy that came in after he came out, so he'd be on schedule to get the start.
But you will have a virtual.
But he hasn't started in a while, so he's going to be two or three innings.
They're going to try it. They're doing the opener thing. I think it's going to be kind of that concept. I think it'll be 3 innings with Chad Bettis, and let's go. But they don't really have a choice. That is the tough thing. It's not like Brendan Rodgers, who was just busting out in AAA, waiting to come out. There's not a pitcher like that. Lower in AA or AAA for the Rockies.
It's Lambert and Rodriguez is the only two guys viable candidates, and both their ERAs at and Albuquerque. That's a tough league as far as pitchers
sure,
go. It's
course.
A hitter's league, but they're both above five. Their ERAs.
Yeah, it's not an easy fix here.
You know, Anderson's not coming back, and Hoffman's already up here.
Yeah. Do you bring back Tyler Anderson?
He's hurt. He had surgery.
Oh.
He had the knee surgery. I think he went on the 60 day, I think.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. That was the problem.
He's not coming back anytime soon. There's really no relief on the way.
What do you think about them winning, though, despite all this stuff?
They're winning unconventionally. I'm just concerned that the way they're winning isn't really sustainable. You can't walk off four times in six wins. I think that's
crazy,
what it is.
Isn't it?
The only walk off they didn't have was the game we were at.
Well, that was a boring one.
That was a normal game. It's
normal
not
game.
Sustainable. Your bullpen is going to be taxed by July.
Yeah.
They can't keep doing this. They need some quality starts out of someone other than Marquez.
They're 6-1 on this homestand. It's unbelievable. They're a game over 500. They've turned the season completely around. You got the Blue Jays in town who are not very good.
Some more juicy birds.
Right. I don't know, man. I love this team.
It's a fun team to watch.
They are, man. It's funny, like, especially like at the catching position. It really feels like Moneyball, where it's like we need three guys to take over Giambi's stats, you know? We'll just use two guys, and as long as
the combination of them.
And it works. It's probably the most production we've had from the catching position offensively in years. Desmond, by the way, starting to hit. Starting to play well.
Daniel Murphy starting to hit.
Murphy was such a great at bat yesterday. So frustrating the game wasn't on TV, but hopefully you saw the highlights of it later. Just smart hitting. Just I don't have to do too much here. I'll just take the ball the other way. Everybody shifts anyways. Just take the ball the other way, put it in play, win the game. It's great.
What was your reaction to the night we were there with Desmond?
It was stupid.
He thought it was a home run, so he did the trot.
Yeah, then stay at second and be good with it.
And then he tried to stretch it out to a triple.
Yeah, it was dumb base running.
With no outs.
Stupid. You don't make the first or third, and it was a close game at the time. It was dumb. Like Ryan McMahon trying to go to third was dumb. A couple games before that.
Is that on the player or is that Stu Cole?
That's on the player.
They're not looking up.
Dude, how long have you played baseball at that level, at that point? It's ridiculous. By the way, that ball he hit, too, was left center. It wasn't right center. It was a relatively short relay throw. And he was out by a freaking mile. That was stupid. You're the leadoff hitter. You just hit a double. I know you thought it was a home run. I don't need triples, Tommy. Triples, to me, like, are cool. They're fun. But usually they're kind of goofy.
Oh, it's the hardest one to get.
Yeah, and it goes down the right field line, and you're a righty, or something wacky. It's just a wacky, you know, thing, a triple. Don't need them. Need leadoff guys on second base. That's what you need. So I was ticked. You're picking the one play of the whole game that really pissed me off.
Yeah, I thought it did. Rile you up.
It did. It was stupid.
It pissed me off, too.
Yeah, next hitter got a hit. Well, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next, but still.
Only because of the way, if he really busted it up the first base line on contact, but he kind of did the admiring home run.
But then again, how'd you like Trevor Story hitting what you could have thought was just a single, but he ran hard from the get-go.
Right.
And he got a double out of it.
But he's also reading it the whole way.
Right, because he understands that was great base running and made sense. And Desmond was stupid. But that being said, Desmond is hitting much, much better. Much better. He's seeing the ball better. He's making great contact. He's doing a great job. Do you feel bad seeing Ian Desmond at the plate these days?
Not anymore.
Neither do I.
He's hitting 180. Whatever he's hitting earlier.
Yeah, well, that's not
like,
the case.
Why is he in there?
That's not the case anymore.
Give me the fish man. I want Tapia.
He's playing. Well, Charlie's out, so we'll see what happens when Charlie comes
back. At the time when Charlie was playing, it seemed like Tapia or Desmond.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. It's 5 o'clock. The weekend is here. The Rockies win.
See you later. A smash by Ryan McMahon to the
South Slout.
A U S L A U T.
You are correct. I've fallen in love with this defense, actually. You know, last time I felt this way was, you know, when I first was introduced to Wade's defense. And it was like, I almost feel like I was born to play this defense. And I was telling my wife that last night because she was, you know, she's like, you know, it's your contract year and where are we going to be, this and that. And I was like, I feel like I was born for this defense, so I don't think we have anything to worry about.
He's such a cool guy. You know, he talks to everybody in the locker room. Previous quarterbacks didn't really do so much, you know, so much. So, you know, they're just being there just on the field, you know, get the job done. And, you know, we see each other walking through the halls or something and wouldn't even, you know, acknowledge us or like previous quarterbacks, you know. But you bring that leadership ability out of, you know, all of us out there on the field. And, you know, he won a Super Bowl. So, you know, he's just a good guy.
The Broncos have wrapped up their OTAs. Tommy, what do you take away from it?
Not much.
Where are we? Where are we at?
Reisner playing left guard. We got that in. I thought that, he would be on the right side.
That looks like that is done, by the way. That's it.
Well, Larry did practice this week. So his natural or his best position is left guard. I thought they'd try to move him around a little bit. And, you know, he would play right tackle at K-State. So I figured right guard would be the natural position for him if Larry can come back and play left guard. But Derek Wolf had high praise for Reisner, and Derek Wolf practices hard, and if he's complaining about Reisner, you know, going a little too hard during OTAs, that's a good sign. It's again, offensively, it's hard to gauge where they're at right now because they're still doing all the install. The defense is way ahead of them at this point. I'm happy that Chris Harris is back for Phase 3 of OTAs.
Yeah. What a week, huh? Let's talk about that. The impact of Chris Harris returning this week.
I mean, if regardless of how you feel about how the contract went down, whether you're pro-Chris Harris or pro-management, it's for 2019, it's a great thing if you're just strictly a football fan and you'd leave the financial part of it out of it. Then you got to be ecstatic with Chris Harris being back here. Now, just keep I don't want to hear about, well, he had a contract. He should have been here anyway. If you just leave that out of it.
Right.
The fact that Kareem Jackson is here and Bryce Callahan and Chris Harris, instead of Chris Harris and Bradley Roby and Tremaine Brock or Pac-Man Jones, you have to feel
better.
Pretty damn good.
Definitely.
About it.
Especially when you put it like that.
Everything you've heard about the way that Vic Fangio is running practice, when Peyton Manning is impressed with how he's running practice and back to basics, you have to, Peyton Manning doesn't have a horse in this race anymore. So you have to take that as a good sign. And everything you read about Drew Lock is that he's getting better.
Yeah.
He's correcting things. And that's what you want to hear. That's why Joe Flacco is such a blessing here with a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, is because you don't have to hurry him along. He can take his time. I'm concerned that Philip Lindsay isn't healthy yet.
You think that's taking a little bit longer than it should?
No, I think that's just the nature of the injury. But I'm just, you know, I hope he goes into training camp healthy.
If he's on
PUP, I just don't think we have the depth at running back.
Well, just to let you know. Lindsay is participating in everything except when it comes to anything.
Well, he doesn't have the ball in his hand on the injured side, doesn't he? I thought it's always in his good hand.
About that.
But yeah, he can run through bags. He can do all of that, but he's not getting the real reps with a new offense.
So he does everything up until the point, you know, he doesn't even do handoffs and he doesn't even do like little wheel routes.
So
he's
a ways away. He's not going to take part in this mandatory mini camp.
It seems to me it's a stretch to think he'll be ready for the beginning of training camp, to be honest with you.
And that concerns me. I mean, but that's what OTAs give you. They give you hope and some concerns. But everything you hear about the defense, and Cecil's been there a lot and talking about how dominant the defense is, but then it's at the expense of the O-line. So, you know, it kind of causes some concern for me.
There's only been three practices, so I saw two out of the three.
Emmanuel Sanders, his health, I didn't even remember that. Emmanuel Sanders has to be healthy.
He looks like he's close.
Coming back from the Achilles.
He looks like he's close. training camp.
I mean, Cecil's talking about Fumagalli having a fantastic OTAs.
He was solid.
Hasn't seen him drop a pass.
Yep, Jake Butt's not healthy enough to be out there.
Right.
I think Jake Butt's, we'll see what happens. It's dicey, though, because they might just keep three tight ends. And Heuermann, Fumagalli, and Fant, does make sense.
Did we have realistic hope? Everything I was just reading about it. I wasn't watching Case Keenum during training camp, but everything out of training camp was these glowing reviews of Case Keenum. But I don't know if that was ever, they were just being nice or teammates were covering for him. But I feel hopeful with this team coming off a 6-10 year that I know they're just OTAs, but yeah. I feel like through the draft and through free agency, they've done a good job.
I couldn't just put my finger on what the offense was struggling with the most.
Blocking?
And maybe
catching? Running?
It just throwing. Felt like timing. Just syncing up with each other.
You have so many new pieces. I think we could go into the season with at least 7 or 8 new starters on the offensive side of the ball with a new offense. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
But part of the reason why I'm so optimistic about the team is that the defense is going to allow the offense some time. Because I truly believe they're going to be dominant. I'd love to use 2015 as that.
Well, let me ask you this.
That bar that they're striving for.
When you have to practice against a great defense every day, does that make you better as an offense, or does it kind of screw things up because you're just screwing up?
It depends. It depends on how you're screwing up. Are you just getting every play getting beat at the point of attack just over and over again? Because you should be getting some wins against the defense, whether it's a route running and beating coverages, you need to have wins. Mm. If you're not getting any of that.
Oh, they're getting some of that.
The defense isn't that good.
It's not like a shutout out there. It's not. There were moments, I can even tell you, it was mostly screens, shorter stuff. I know.
When you're playing against a defense like that,
yeah,
an aggressive defense. And Garrett Bowles is very good at screens because the best thing about screens is you just block for a second and then pretend like you lose, and then you get out and block. So he's good at that.
Yep. Screens, stuff over the middle, shorter stuff, 10, all 15 right. yards.
Our inside linebacker issues.
Right. The deep stuff was like a disaster. I mean,
that's where all our money's at.
Right.
The pass rush, because you have to take a deep drop as a quarterback.
Right.
And then our coverage.
I mean, it was like, it's not that the ball just wasn't caught, which it definitely wasn't. It was just like, it wasn't really
but
close.
That's also timing and getting to know your receivers, and your best receiver is not practicing. Your best running back is not practicing. Ron Leary is just back to practicing. Juwan James is out with the hip right now, so he's not practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not getting the full picture of the offense at this point. Now, if we're talking about these same issues 2 weeks into training camp before they head to Canton, that could be more concerning. But
all right, let me ask you this.
How they do against other competition.
How different or how much improvement happens from where you are now into the mandatory minicamp and training camp? Or is it pretty...
No, then you start all over.
It gets worse.
You're going to... You got through your mandatory minicamp with the NFL today, and then what's that? June 6th it ends somewhere around there.
Yep, yeah, 4, 5, 6.
And then July 18th.
Yep.
So now on July 18th, when they go out to practice, now the offense is reinstalling everything. They're back to day one, and the defense still has this memory of go get football. So it's going to be that first week is going to look a lot like what you've been seeing at OTAs. It's just going to start all over again.
What's a fair assessment then of what you think the offense can be? Week two of training camp?
Week two you start easing. Week two of training camp or week two of the preseason?
Training camp.
The game. Oh, okay.
You tell me.
Like, no, week two, you should have everything in. Everything should be installed for the most part of the offense. Now you're starting to go back to the plays that you put in the beginning. You should be, in theory, better at it. There shouldn't be much, a lot of questions on the field. You know, no indecision. Joe Flacco should have a better feel of who he's throwing the ball to, how they run their routes, who I want to, you know, throw it up to, things like that. He's going to know the personnel that much better. That's why it's important that Emmanuel Sanders and Philip Lindsay are there, because he needs to start developing a rapport with those guys, too.
Here is Shelby Harris on Joe Flacco.
That man has a cannon. I'll tell you that. That man can throw the ball. But you know what? He's just, when you have a Super Bowl MVP as your starting quarterback, it kind of puts a calming feeling on the offense. You know, like they definitely, you know, they're in the right hands. And then, you know, especially with a new offensive coordinator, you know, it's kind of sometimes a little bit of a frenzy thing. But he's out there and he's calling the shots. And I really like what they're doing on offense.
Yeah, so that's...
Oh, and she's got a cannon.
I feel like that's... I heard a lot of that last year, too, when they were talking about Case Keenum. And Shelby Harris is just, you know, he can't... He's not going to be able to break down the quarterback and all that, but, you know, he does have a big arm. We know that.
We know that. We saw that for sure.
But he's kind of talking about how he's running the offense and a calming influence on them, but I think I heard that about Case Keenum last year.
I think you might have heard it. I don't think anybody believed it. I think there were a lot of people on the team last year that thought, man, this guy was had a fluke year. This is a backup dude. This isn't the real deal. I think that was, and then we get this today from Devontae Booker.
He's such a cool guy. You know, he talks to everybody in the locker room. Previous quarterbacks, they didn't really do so much, you know, so much. So, you know, they're just being there just on the field, you know, get the job done. And, you know, we see each other walking through the halls or something and wouldn't even, you know, acknowledge us or like previous quarterbacks, you know. But you bring that leadership ability out of, you know, all of us out there on the field. And, you know, he won a Super Bowl, so... No, he's just a good guy.
Wow. How was Snapchat? How'd that go? Did they return your Snapchat? What is it with you guys? Are you like, I mean, how often do you have to say hi to somebody in the halls?
You'd think if he's talking Paxton Lynch, they're the same draft class. Devontae Booker and Paxton, weren't they both 2016?
Okay.
So you'd think
Take
that.
Take your word for it.
They would be friendly with each other because every draft class is pretty tight.
Yeah, I didn't see that with Paxton. He was friendly with like one dude, a wide receiver, and they cut him. And then I was like, oh, wow, Paxton has like no friends.
I don't know who he's referring. He said quarterbacks plural.
Yeah.
So I don't know who he's talking about. Is it Case Keenum?
Were they the cool kids and they hung out together?
Maybe no one liked Devontae Booker.
Right, maybe it's you.
Maybe it's him.
Maybe it's you, dude.
I mean, he was supposed to be something more than he's
right,
been.
No offense, but like you lost your job to an undrafted free agent, and they drafted Royce Freeman. And they drafted Williams in the seventh round.
He lost his job his rookie year when CJ got hurt. He was the starter. Do you remember they brought in Justin Forsett?
Right.
And he immediately took his carries.
Which was crazy because Forsett could only run for 1 yard a carry at the time.
And he didn't know the offense, and yet he was replaced that
immediately,
quickly.
Yeah, it might be you, dude. I'm sorry, Book.
But it is nice to know that Joe Flacco is saying hi to guys. and what's up, Book?
I do think, well, you tell me, when they put in, Kreisky had been there.
I do not remember a quarterback. There's not many halls. I don't know what halls he's referring to.
I don't either.
But I don't remember
shower
walking by quarterbacks and them saying hello to me, ever.
What would they?
They travel in like this little pack.
Okay.
They're like a little clique.
Right.
They're like the pretty girls at school, they all stick together.
Right.
And, you know, they got a lot on their plate. They're coming out of meetings. They're probably talking amongst themselves about whatever they do in that room.
Right.
And the last thing they're going to do is acknowledge any of the fat people.
All right.
Do the pretty girls acknowledge the fat people? No.
Not really, no.
Not my history.
I'll have to go back and watch 16 Candles, but I don't think so. I think you're right about that.
Oh, they said hi to Jake.
I remember in Breakfast Club how they broke it down, and Molly Ringwald did not acknowledge the fat kids. That's a good point. Was Molly Ringwald in all those movies? I think she was.
16 Candles, Breakfast Club. What else was she in? Oh, she was in Dirty Dancing. Oh, no, that's Jennifer Grey.
Let's listen more from Devontae Booker.
Yeah, I've been through a different quarterback every year, a different office coordinator. It's my second running back coach being here, but it's just it's hard to find a rhythm when you got so much change, so many offenses that you got to learn, man. I guess just the big thing for me just been me standing in my playbook and just knowing what to do. So when the time comes, I can go out there and, you know, ball out.
All right. Is it really that difficult for running backs with the play calls when they're in there? Is it really that complicated?
Well, in the beginning it is because has he had four coordinators now in 4 years?
It's something
2016,
like that.
it was Dennison.
So we had Dennison.
17 was McCoy, then Musgrave.
Musgrave.
Scandrello.
Scandrello. Yeah.
So there's all different verbiage.
Yeah, but a running back. I mean, come on. How complicated can it be?
Really?
You tell me.
It's
for running back,
there's a specific style of cutting and holes and responsibilities that way. Then you have pass protection. Then you have pass routes. And if all the words are different,
okay,
it's going to take you a while to adjust to it.
It's not like you're out there for every play, though.
You got to know every play.
I mean, he's out there for like 15 plays a game.
You don't think he has to know every play?
I don't know.
In theory, he should know every play, especially the pass plays, because if he has to protect, he better know where to go.
I think Devontae Booker has just been overlooked and hasn't lived up to his expectations, anybody's expectations. I don't even know who Devontae, I don't even know why he was like speaking today. Like where, what's going on?
Or phase three. Everybody's had their chance to talk.
Okay.
Has Philip talked yet? Philip Lindsay?
They kind of have a rule. If you're hurt, you really don't talk. So they don't put guys up that are injured. The Raptors last night.
What about the Raptors last night?
Here comes Siakam. Sidestep. Layup is good. Wow, what a quarter for Siakam. Van Fleet goes right at Jarebko. Tough shot. Oh, banks at home. How did he get that one to go?
Did you like watching them? You're against them. You're for the Warriors.
No. No, I just enjoyed the game. I don't really care one way or the other.
So the
games, mean, I'm not against the Raptors.
The
I just
games,
don't like the role that Drake had been playing for most of the Bucks series.
The game's over. The game's over. And there's Draymond and
Drake.
I mean, you must have been loving it.
I rewound it because I wanted to see what was going on.
My son
and what kind of happened.
We were watching the spelling bee on TV, and we had the game on the phone. And what?
Your priorities are backwards.
Well, I couldn't get the spelling bee on the phone. If I could have done that, then maybe I would have done that. My son goes, oh, the game, I want to watch it, which shocked me because, like, he's not a sports fan. He's a good athlete, but he's not a sports fan. I was like, oh, you're interested. Why? Oh, well, Drake. Where's Drake? That's all I want to know is where Drake was sitting. He stayed into it for
He didn't know where Drake was sitting?
No,
he hasn't been following.
No,
because Drake is in the same seat every time.
Right, no, he had no clue.
He's the one standing next to the head coach.
I told you, he's not a fan. Actually, I saw there's four seats that are closer to the coach than Drake. There's Drake, but he's at mid-court.
Drake's up against like a
the play-by-play
table or whatever it is.
I think it's
some sort of table there.
Yeah,
and then there's his buddies next to him, and then two randos to his left.
Right,
there's four seats in his little section.
To his right, there's some sort of table, and then there's four seats. There were two kids and like a man and woman that were just sitting. There's four other seats closer to the bench. But they're not at half court. Drake's right there at
So he can chirp the other team.
Here's Draymond talking about Drake.
I think so many people make a big deal out of it. It is what it is. He a fan, he talk. So many people have complained about it. Like, you don't let any other fan do that. Yeah, any other fan, just not Drake. So they probably shouldn't be able to do that. That's just kind of how the cookie crumbles. I think there's so much talk and, like, the NBA need this. No, they don't. Like, he worked to be who he is. You should get more leash. But I don't mind it. It's fun for me.
All right. Most people, I would assume that game one of the NBA finals, that the people sitting in those seats have done well in life.
I would say so. Or they know people have done well.
No, I think they've done well. I don't think the people, there's nobody knowing. If you have those seats and it's game one of the NBA finals, the first game that Toronto's ever been in the finals, you're going to the game.
All right. And
so Draymond's point is that he should get more leash because he's done well in life. But everybody sitting there has done well in life. I just don't think that
they
should make an exception when Adam Silver has to have a chat with him about his actions in the Bucks series. Then he's becoming a bigger problem than the brand that is the NBA.
Who wins the series?
If Dylan doesn't care about sports, but he wants to see Drake and where he's sitting and what's he going to do.
That's what he wanted.
He wasn't watching Siakam score 32?
No, he was watching for Drake. He wanted to see where Drake was.
He didn't want to see Kawhi. He didn't want to see Steph.
No. No, Drake.
He didn't want to see if KD was going to play?
Mm-mm. Didn't care.
That's the problem right there for me.
The Michelob Ultra Fan Golf Tour is here. The first stop is next Friday at the Ridge at Castle Pines. $125 pays for your golf, a PGA Tour Superstore gift bag dinner, and a Fan Golf Tour Polo Plus, a chance at great prizes. Go to 1043thefan.com today to book your spot. Brought to you by Michelob Ultra, Rocks Heating and Air, and 1043 The Fan.